Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. We'll get to that in a moment. We're talking politics this hour, starting with the controversy swirling around the confirmation of the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Process has turned yet another corner with the lawyer of the woman accusing the nominee of sex assault saying that the accuser will testify, just not on Monday. Last night in Las Vegas, Trump praised Kavanaugh.
And I'm not saying anything about anybody else, but I want to tell you that Brett Kavanaugh is one of the finest human beings you will ever have the privilege of knowing or meeting. A great intellect, a great gentleman, an impeccable reputation, went to Yale, top student, went to Yale Law School, top student. So we got to let it play out. But I want to tell you, he is a fine, fine person.
Okay, so that part about not saying anything about anybody else didn't last long. We're going to start off with that with political journalist and host of the Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin. He joins us for an hour of politics. Welcome back, Ken.
Good morning, Ann. My goodness, everything changes every hour. It used to be every week, then it used to be every day. Now things change every hour.
And when you in Twitter time, it's every minute or second. So
exactly.
Yeah, crazy. President Trump this morning tweeted that if the assault on Kavanaugh's accuser, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, was, quote, as bad as she says, then, quote, charges would have been immediately filed. He wrote, I ask that she bring those filings forward so that we can learn date, time, and place. My gosh, if those filings existed, you would have seen them by now, wouldn't you?
Well, see, this is, you know, something. There's been tremendous pressure on the president by his staff, by supporters of Judge Kavanaugh, by Republican members of the Senate saying, you know, keep your instincts to yourself. Usually he can be uncontrolled when it comes to tweeting. Mm-hmm. And in this way, just stay silent. Let's see what let it play out. You know, as Trump said in that speech, let it play out and we'll see what happens. But by saying that if this really happened, Ms. Blasey or her parents would have gone to the law authorities. Mm-hmm. Well, that basically, this is exactly the problem with women coming forward from sexual harassment, sexual assault, or any kind of sexual attacks, in the fact that they won't be believed, they're shamed, the sense of shame is enormous, and from everything I've read about Dr. Blasey, that she is absolutely terrified because she's already received death threats. She had to leave her house. I mean, you can make the case that both sides, Democrats and Republicans, are playing politics with this. But this is a painful memory, assuming it's true, in the life of Dr. Blasey. This is why women don't come forward, because they're shamed into it by men who say, well, if it really happened, didn't you tell your parents? Or why didn't you go to the police?
You know, the president has been pretty good about resisting the urge to tweet about this. What
Until
do you think
now.
Tripped him up?
Well, I mean, I think the fact is, once upon a time, this was a slam dunk nomination. I mean, mm-hmm. Yes, maybe there was some pressure on Republican senators like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski of Maine and Alaska, respectively. And basically, the feeling was that since these Republicans are unlikely to bolt, there's no problem. So then when the charges came out, they said, well, it's still questionable whether any Republican and any votes will change. Stay quiet. Now people are starting to say that if she does testify, and apparently she will testify, because I think a lot of Republicans thought she wouldn't, mm-hmm. but if she does testify, not only do we have Hill Thomas, you know, Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill all over again, mm-hmm. but it's a different dynamic, you know, since 1991 when people don't, you know, I mean, people don't shrug their shoulders at sexual harassment and sexual assault, because now they realize how Anita Hill was treated in 1991, especially in a Senate Judiciary Committee that was all white and all male. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the public opinion, the arena of public opinion, is turning against Judge Kavanaugh, and polls seem to indicate that he is clearly more unpopular than popular. Trump felt he had to say something.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support It's the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. Our show today about national politics, there's certainly a lot to talk about these days. And this hour we have a great thank you gift to show your public radio pride. It's 89.7 NPR News Socks. Make a gift of $10 a month and get your own pair. They are navy blue with a graphic of a vintage microphone and have the 89.7 NPR News logo running up the back. Again, that's for $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Edwin Eaton from Reynoldsburg for your pledge of support and also Ryan Luley from Worthington. Thanks for your show of support. My guest this hour, a political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin. He is a monthly visitor to the show, and we have a special. This today is a special event with him. We usually bring him in one Thursday a month. Today, obviously, it's not Thursday; it's Friday. And Ken, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Well, you know, if you ever, you didn't get me on the show to talk about fundraising. You got me on the show to talk about politics. But if there's ever, here I go with my spiel again. Mm-hmm. But if there's ever a reason to contribute to public radio, to be a sustaining donor or one-time donor, it's exactly times like this when you have a Supreme Court nominee that could change the face of the court for decades to come. We're 46 days away from a midterm election that could be the most consequential in many people's lifetimes. There's so much at stake here, and very few stations report on it and do the kind of job that WOSU does, that the money that people send to WOSU is so crucial and probably more important than ever. And that is my 2 cents. Ken Newton. Thank you very much.
If all you can afford is 2 cents, that's fine. We'll take it. But 866-897.
They can even double that.
Double it to 4 cents. 866-897-9678 is the number to call to show your support right now. Now, we're taking questions for Ken Rudin. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for Ken. 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@WOSU.org. What kind of tightrope is Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Chuck Grassley walking right now in all of this, Ken?
Well, it seems, it's very interesting to watch him because we also watched him during the Merrick Garland Supreme Court nomination from President Obama in 2016. He was in no rush then at all. He said, well, you know something, we're not going to have hearings. We're not going to meet with the judge. We're certainly not going to have a vote. And boom, they got away with it. And then Donald Trump was elected, which few people thought. Now, suddenly, he's in a tremendous rush. He says, well, you know something, we're not going to demand the release of 100,000 or more pages of documents showing what Judge Kavanaugh, his work with the Bush White House and what he did with Kenneth Starr. So that is out of the eyes and out of the hands of Democrats on the committee. But Grassley never seemed to care. Now, he was ready until just recently. He said that we're going to have the committee vote next Wednesday, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Now he's backing down on that. He said that if Dr. Blasey doesn't testify by Monday, well, that it's take it or leave it. He seems to be backing down on that as well. Now, of course, he's not up for re-election this year. He was up in 2016, so he's fine until 2022 when God knows how old he'll be, but I mean, he doesn't have any election problems, but he does have the election of public opinion weighing against him. The fact is that if the Republicans look like they're going to rush through the Kavanaugh vote without giving consideration or respect to what Dr. Blasey is talking about, he knows as well as anybody that this could be very consequential in November, on November 6th in the midterm elections.
The accuser, psychology professor Ford, is asking for fair terms. What do we know about what that means in this case?
I don't actually know. I mean, of course, what the Republicans are planning to do, my understanding is, they're not going to be stupid and have one of their male, because all the men, all the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee are men, so they're not going to have one of the men, male senators, badger her, because then again, we go back to Anita Hill. I mean, the thought of Joe Biden or Arlen Specter or other, you know, Republicans on the, you know, or other members of the Judiciary Committee back in 1991, Biden and Specter were considered feminist, you know, pro-feminist lawmakers. Mm-hmm. And yet they completely took Clarence Thomas's side. They dismissed what Anita Hill had to say. So basically my understanding is the Republicans are going to look for a female prosecutor, an outside prosecutor, to do the questions, to almost get them off the hook. As far as terms that are favorable to her, I'm not exactly sure. I do know that the Democrats would love to have had an FBI investigation into her claims, of course. One, that's not going to happen. Two, we should also remember back in 1991, I keep referring to Hill versus Thomas, but mm-hmm. back in 1991, the FBI did investigate what Anita Hill's charges were, and they came up with nothing. So I think the Democrats, and I think the Democrats and Dr. Blasey are supposed to be on the same page, but basically, look, she knows she's terrified. She knows she's been subject to a tremendous cruelty online, phone calls and emails and things like that. They want to certainly protect her safety and perhaps her sanity as well.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Cherise Vaca from Westerville for your pledge of support. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're asking you to support the conversations we bring to you every day. We work hard to bring you interesting people, and our conversations are in-depth. Many times we talk to a guest for an entire hour, just like Ken Rudin. You only find that on public radio. So support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's a special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have a political junkie, Ken Rudin, on the air. And for $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get your very own pair of branded 89.7 NPR News socks. These navy blue socks are a great way to show your love for public radio and this station. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And by the way, if there's a news junkie in your life, which kind of translates into a political junkie, right, Ken, these days,
absolutely.
then this would make a great gift. What a wonderful gift. Someone you know who loves 89.7 NPR News, who is an NPR nerd, get a pair of socks. This is a great way to show them you care. For $10 a month as a sustainer. They have to think of another word.
That reminds me of that old Woody Allen movie, right? Everything you always wanted to know about socks, but were afraid to ask.
Yeah, no kidding. They are cool socks, though. You must have NPR socks or something, Ken.
I don't, but I love socks. Socks are really neat. Once upon a time, I loved ties. Back in the days when we wore ties, nobody wears ties anymore. Mm-hmm. But socks are really neat. They're absolutely neat.
Matter of fact,
I was in Columbus and Cleveland last week, and I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You were in Columbus last week?
That John Glenn International Airport, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Technically, you were.
Okay. Technically, right, okay. Exactly. But I did get a pair of socks, but they did not have NPR socks, and I would have liked to have had that. So
this is your chance, listeners. Call 866-897-9678 and show your support for 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher and all the programs we bring you, including our monthly visit with political journalist Ken Rudin. Ken, the president is blaming far-left Democrats, that's his words, his phrase, for the controversy. Is that who is behind this? I mean, is it your sense that it's the far left of the party that's pushing this?
Well, no. I mean, of course not. But then again, if you think that, you know, any Democratic member of the Senate Judiciary Committee is far left, look, obviously, liberal, progressive, left-wing, if you will, interest groups have been fighting Kavanaugh from the beginning, mm-hmm. not because of the allegations made, you know, 30 years ago, decades ago. But the fact is, one, he will, if he's confirmed, there's no question that he would move the court far to the right. You know, you think of what Clarence Thomas, what he represented in 1991, he was replacing Thurgood Marshall. The thought of a seat going from Thurgood Thurgood Marshall to Clarence Thomas is just like, you know, I mean, unbelievable move from the left to the right. And in some ways, it's similar to this one as well, because even though Anthony Kennedy, the justice who resigned earlier this year, mm-hmm. is a conservative, but he was a swing vote. He voted in favor of affirmative action. He was in favor of same-sex marriage and some abortion rights. So while he was conservative, he did vote with liberals sometime. You know that Brett Kavanaugh, for like him or dislike him, you know that he's not going to vote with liberals ever. And of course, and they feel that the future of Roe, the future of reproductive rights are in jeopardy, and they may be. So that's why these liberal, sure, far left groups, whatever you want, progressive groups, are been fighting this nomination from the beginning.
Thanks to Kim Poff from Canal Winchester for your pledge of support. Kim says, I just love the news. It keeps me up to date so I can know what is going on in the world. I just love the station. Kim, we love you too. Thanks for your showing your support. Everybody else out there, 866-897-9678. That's the number to call to show your support, or go to WOSU.org. It only takes a couple minutes. What is the best case scenario for the Republicans at this point, Ken Rudin?
Well, so far it's not going in their favor. They did think they had a little an advantage a few days ago when it seemed unlikely that she would testify, certainly not by Monday. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, if we're back to he said, she said, then, you know, there's no real reason for many Republicans to vote against him. There's really not. Look, the conservative base really wants a vote, and they really want it quickly, and certainly before the midterm elections. Obviously, they would love to have it before October 1st when the new court starts. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about the kind of pressures that were on Chuck Grassley. Well, you know that if it goes beyond beyond November 6th, the vote, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it goes beyond that, then there'll be less pressure on Democrats to vote yes, you know, in those red states like Joe Donnelly in Indiana or Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, or, you know, other Democrats in conservative red states. So they obviously want this get done beforehand, and they also want to have Republicans and conservatives motivated to come out and vote. That maybe that's why Trump said these left-wing senators, because these left-wing interest groups are fighting the nomination, because he wants his base to be energized. By all accounts, or certainly most accounts, the polls show that the real enthusiasm is on the Democratic side, that they are the angry voters. They're the ones who feel that, you know, Kavanaugh is going to roll back women's rights, you know, back to the Stone Age, and therefore they can all come out and vote, not to mention all the things that Donald Trump has said in the year and a half, 2 years he's been president. So perhaps by railing against left-wing extremists, then he motivates his Christian conservative base to come out and say, wait a second, we could lose control of the Senate if we don't come out and vote. We could lose control of the Supreme Court, because you know that if the Democrats win the Senate, they'll never, ever, and now that there's no filibuster anymore, there's no way to stop the Democrats from blocking future Trump judicial nominations, and that's what motivates them as well.
Thanks to Joe and Marie Hallett from Westerville. Thanks for your pledge of support. They write, Ann is a former colleague and a good friend. That would be Joe Hallett, former politics editor for the Columbus Dispatch, my former colleague from the Toledo Blade. We worked together for about 10 years covering state government and politics. Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate it. If anybody else out there wants to show their support for 89.7 NPR News and the kind of conversations we bring you every single day, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And if you have a question for Ken Rudin, the number is 614-292-8513. Iris from Columbus asked, will Senators Klobuchar from Minnesota and Harris from California investigate Kavanaugh claims? They're prosecutors with experience with sex assault cases.
Well, given the fact that we don't have much time to investigate that, and I'm sure that their staffs are looking into everything they can. I mean, obviously, Diane, what was interesting and what a lot of Republicans feel that the Democrats were playing politics by saying that, look, Diane Feinstein had this information about the charges against Kavanaugh since July or August, and they're waiting only until after the hearings were over to come forward with them. Now, of course, Feinstein's response to it, and it's certainly legitimate, is that, look, you know, Dr. Blasey didn't want to come forward. She was terrified of being drawn through the public stage, the public arena, dragged through the mud, which is what's happening to her now. So that's one of the reasons they didn't know about it earlier and they didn't want to come forward with it. Mm-hmm. But you could bet your bottom dollar that people like Klobuchar and Kamala Harris, and by the way, two people who may be looking at the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, they are going to certainly look into claims. And, you know, you see these, I mean, look, social media is dangerous, and it's dangerous when it comes to rumors. But you always hear things like, well, maybe there's another shoe to fall. Maybe there's another person to come forward. Now, everybody who's testified on behalf of Kavanaugh said, not only did Blasey never happen, this sexual assault never happened, but he's never, you know, done anything untoward towards women. And obviously the Democrats are trying to prove the opposite. Can I just say one thing about this? One more thing about the vote is that in the past, the pressure on the Joe Donnellys and the Joe Manchins and the Heidi Heitkamps,
Democrats coming from conservative districts.
Right, exactly. States. All of whom were, and even Doug Jones, who's not even from Alabama, who's not up until 2020. But the point is that there were tremendous pressure on them to vote for Kavanaugh because their constituents would demand it. It's one thing to vote, you know, to not vote against Kavanaugh because of ideology. Look, Donald Trump ran as a conservative, was elected as a conservative, promised conservative judges. So the president is keeping his promises. But when it comes to sexual assault, you can make the case. So if Republicans will say about Joe Donnelly in Indiana, well, you voted against Kavanaugh and I'm going to punish you. He could say, and every other Democrat can say, too, I cannot support somebody who's been accused of sexual assault. So I think Blasey certainly changes the dynamic of what's at stake in the senators' minds as we get closer to a vote.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Remember, this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We're asking for your support. We're asking you to support the conversations we bring you every day. We work hard to bring you interesting people like Ken Rudin, and our conversations are in-depth. Many times we talk to a guest for an entire hour. You only find that on public radio. So support 89.7 NPR News at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is a special time to become a member because for this hour only, we have political junkie Ken Rudin on the air. And for $10 a month as a sustainer, you can have your very own pair of branded 89.7 NPR News socks. These navy blue socks are a great way to show your love for public radio and this station. So go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Jerry Jones from Columbus for your pledge of support. Let's rack up some more pledges. 1-866-897-9678. You're listening today. Now show your support today. Barbara in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Thanks, Ann, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for Ken relates to calling one senator about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. I'll be making one of my regular calls to Ohio Senator Rob Portman's office today, and I wonder what he thinks is my most effective argument to pitch in a very short time.
Well, that's a great question. You know, once upon a time, I always thought that Rob Portman was one of those Republicans who are not stuck on ideology, and he was more somebody more willing to listen to reason and vote his conscience, like for example, Jeff Flake and other Republicans have done. But it just seems like, as far as Portman, it seems like if you cross President Trump, if you're a Republican and cross President Trump, whether you're in the House or Senate, you will somehow pay the price politically. Rob Portman has shown signs of independence in the past. I don't know. I have not heard anything from Portman that indicates that he may be wavering on Kavanaugh.
Right.
And of course, he's not up for re-election this year. What I would suggest if you're calling somebody, I mean, I'm sure these senators are deluged with phone calls, but call somebody who's up for re-election. Call like Dean Heller in Nevada. He's the only Republican up this year who's in a state that Hillary Clinton carried. She carried Nevada. He's the only Republican in a state that she carried. Call you know senators who are either in tough races or to even call Democratic senators to stand. If you're against Kavanaugh, call the Joe Donnelly. Claire McCaskill, for example, in Missouri, has already announced she's gonna oppose the nomination, which is gutsy because she's in a tough race in Missouri. Call Bill Nelson in Florida, who's in a dead even race for re-election against Governor Rick Scott in Florida. I would call those who are up for re-election this year and say that there's so much riding on this nomination.
Barbara, thanks for that call. I wanted to talk about the race in Texas between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. What do you make of that?
It's a fascinating race, but let me say, Beto O'Rourke seems to be everybody's. You know, every progressive in the country seems to be going crazy over Beto O'Rourke. He reminds him of Bobby Kennedy. He drops the F-bomb every sentence. I mean, he's
a
character. And he's, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, you know, almost every time he's speaking, there's an F this and an F that. And it's just, and, you know, Ted Cruz doesn't like it. Republicans don't like it. Some people are charmed by it. Whatever it is. But Beto O'Rourke seems, for better or worse, he just seems to have, making a difference in Texas. The problem is that, one, President Trump remains popular in Texas, even though he and Ted Cruz had this real disastrous relationship in 2016, where Cruz called him, he's just an absolute liar and an egotist and somebody all out for himself, and of course Trump called him Lion Ted. But whatever it is. The Republicans, the demographics are changing in Texas. Ted Cruz is not Mr. Warmth or Mr. Popular, but I still don't know if it's happening yet. Most polls I've seen that if they're in within 2 or 3 points, if there is a blue wave, O'Rourke could certainly win it. At this point, I don't think it happens. But we know that Latinos don't vote in large numbers. His name is Beto, but his name is really Robert O'Rourke. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to make fun of Beto O'Rourke for changing his name, just like I'm not going to make fun of Rafael Cruz for changing his name to Ted. I mean, they change the names. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, O'Rourke is exciting a lot of Democrats and even some moderate Republicans in Texas. I still think he falls. But again, when Barbara was talking about who to call or who to send money to, O'Rourke is one of those people who, with a late push, could win. I just don't think he does.
His is a classic example of if the voters would turn out, but they typically don't, especially in Texas. It's a tough road to hoe.
Well, it is only because, we've just seen that. But you have something that's true about Republicans, too, that a lot of Republicans have lost because not enough people came out. You think of the Mitt Romney people and the John McCain people. A lot of Republicans just weren't enthused about either McCain or Romney in 2012, 2008, and they didn't come out. So, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, and it probably is a cliche, but turnout is key, and I can't remember a midterm election as crucial as this one is, because so much is at stake, not only to control the Senate, but the next 2 years of the Trump administration.
Thanks to Nano Sweatman from Columbus for your pledge of support. Nano says, always wonderful, informative, and unbiased programming. Thank you. Well, thank you, Nano, for your support. We appreciate it. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin. If you have a question or comment for Ken, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. In Ohio, all the statewide elected offices are open, and for a change, the Democrats have fielded some pretty serious candidates from the top down. What about the rest of the states where Republicans control everything? I mean, does it look like there is sort of a, besides at the national level, does it look like the statewide races for statewide elective office could turn things around for the Democrats this year?
They could, and in some cases, they very well might. There are some states where, for example, in Florida is a good example where Rick Scott, the governor, is leaving to run for the Senate. That's a fascinating race here. Andrew Gillum, who is African-American, who is not supposed to win the Democratic primary. He's the mayor of Tallahassee.
Okay.
And the FBI is investigating corruption in Tallahassee, not against Mayor Gillum specifically, but certainly in the corruption in the city government. And so he has strikes against him, but he is a very personable, articulate, because we go back to Joe Biden describing Barack Obama, he's a good campaigner. He's a smart campaigner. You think of Florida as being a kind of a purple state, a swing state. He is kind of left wing in a lot of his positions, calling for the impeachment of Trump, getting rid of ICE. Health care for all. I mean, he's really a really very progressive on so many issues. And he could win that race. He's up against a Trump loyalist, Ron DeSantis, congressman, who opened up his campaign by saying that he's afraid that Gillum might monkey up the politics in Florida. And so many people took that as a dog whistle mm-hmm. on race. And then there's also been some people making anonymous phone calls, trying to imitate Andrew Gillum in a minstrel voice and saying, "Hello, I is Andrew Gillum. You vote." You know, I mean, it's just pathetic 1950s racism. So
yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen there. You don't know what plays, but that's certainly a state to watch. Michigan could turn. There's a lot of, but you know, something, who knows? I mean, Minnesota may be close with the Republicans taking it over.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just kind of wonder what's going to happen. But given the fact that in the gubernatorial races, that it was such a great year for Republicans in 2014, mm-hmm. At 2010 and 2014, a lot of those two-term governors are now term-limited. Democrats have a huge opportunity in statewide races this November.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. We have a wonderful thank you gift for our public radio junkies listening right now. For $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, get 89.7 NPR News socks. Do you think Claire Roth or Steve Brown are chasing those news stories in their bare feet? Oh, no. They're wearing some slick socks, and now you can, too, with the 89.7 NPR News socks. These socks are custom designed just for 89.7 NPR News and feature a graphic of a vintage microphone on a navy blue background. And they have the 89.7 NPR News logo proudly running up the back. Get your very own pair right now for a one-time gift of $120 or for $10 a month as a sustainer. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Your dollars right now support our political coverage now and in the future. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. My guest, Ken Rudin, political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. It's interesting. I mean, someone posted something, I think it was on Twitter today, I can't remember, but they're asking, where in the world is John Kasich? What do you think the Ohio governor, the lame duck Ohio governor, is thinking by staying out of the mix as much as he is in Ohio right now?
Well, here's the problem. He clearly is looking at 2020. He's clearly looking at challenging President Trump and the Republican for the Republican renomination. The problem, of course, is Trump remains not only somewhat popular, he's extremely popular in the Republican electorate. November may be another story, but Republicans, I think I saw a poll that aside from George W. Bush in the aftermath of 9/11, more Republicans like President Trump than any other Republican president in history. So that just shows how popular he is. As divisive as he is, as controversial as he is, Republicans love him. So I kind of think that he's trying to keep a low profile. I know that he was very late in backing Mike DeWine for governor. It took him a long time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he feels that, I don't know if he feels he's worn out his welcome in Ohio, but I think he's looking beyond Ohio, and he's looking nationally. But it's interesting that, you know, he was late with DeWine. I don't remember where he was on Troy Balderson's in that special election in the 12th.
Mm-hmm. He was with Troy.
Yeah, but I think he was there. He got there later than some people expected. But, you know, it's people are looking at, look, he clearly stayed out of 2016. He didn't endorse Trump. There are a lot of Ohio Republicans who haven't forgotten that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps if there's any kind of opposition to Trump as we get closer to 2020, those previous comments and views will be beneficial for him. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Right now, look, there are people who are looking for alternatives to Trump, and I'm not sure if you're going to find many in the Republican Party. But again, this is only 2018. The thought of, I mean, look, really, on the day of the election in 2016, I still was convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And so were most polls. Mm-hmm. So if you can't foretell what's going to happen the day of the election, I'm certainly not going to predict what's going to happen 2 years from now, let alone November 6th.
Right. Speaking of Troy Balderson, the 12th congressional district rematch between him and, who was the victor in the special election in August, and Democrat Danny O'Connor, it captured attention in August, but not so much this time around. I'd imagine there's just so many other races in play in November, but it was a razor thin margin of victory. Any thoughts about that going forward?
Well, you know something, as they always say, that close is great in horseshoes, but it's mm-hmm. not great in politics.
Yep.
And the fact is that while, you know, the Democrats came very close in that 6th district in Georgia, where Tom Price left to join the Trump cabinet, and the Democrats came close but didn't win. Danny O'Connor in the Ohio 12 came close, but he didn't win. And you're absolutely right that there's no longer attention on those kind of districts. Mm-hmm. Because, look, historically, I mean, as I've said on your show last time, the last two times a Democrat won that district was 1980 with, I think it was Bob Szymanski, and 1936 with whose name I've long since forgotten. And that's how Republican the seat is. It was T. Barry, it was Kasich, it was Sam Devine, if people remember that far back. But anyway, the point is, this is a Republican district. What's probably going to happen is that they're going to go after, there's at least 25 districts that Hillary Clinton carried that are now held by Republicans. And especially there, I think there are 7 of them in California. They're going to look at those. They're going to look at least 40 Republicans are called it quits for 2018. There are open seats. Democrats are going to look at those seats as well. Now, having said that, you know, if the fact is the president's popularity or his approval ratings are pretty much hovering around 40%, when you're under 50%, your party is in trouble. When you're at 40%, your party is in deep trouble. And we're talking about 23 House seats. So 23 House seats is certainly doable for the Democrats to pick up. The only thing they've picked up since Trump left came into office was Connor Lamb in Southwest Pennsylvania. Again, all those special elections, Democrats did well or better, but not enough to win. So again, the goal for the Democrats in 2018 is not to come close, not to do well in horseshoes, but to put Nancy Pelosi or some other Democrat in the speaker's chair.
We have about 15 minutes left with Ken Rudin, our political journalist and host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. We'll have a link to his podcast on our website at WOSU.org. So we have about 15 minutes left. Let's get 10 more pledges. I know we could get a lot more than that, but I'm shooting for 10 more pledges right now in 15 minutes. This is locally run, locally programmed, 89.7 NPR News, and it exists to make sure that everyone in our wonderful corner of Ohio has access to vital news and information with locally focused programs such as All Sides with Ann Fisher. 89.7 NPR News addresses issues that affect our community at local, regional, and national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on your donations to keep it on the air. So please give now at WOSU.org. Thanks to Annie Robinson from Columbus for your pledge of support. That means we have 9 more to go. You can call 866-897-9678. You know, public radio is community radio. That's why 89.7 NPR News brings you a show just like this one. All Sides works hard to bring you shows every day that capture the news, politics, and cultural interests of our unique region. This powerful service helps you understand Central Ohio just a bit more with stories that impact your life, your work, and your family. I hear from people all the time that when they move to Columbus, the first thing they do is they turn to their public radio station. They turn to 89.7. That's how they find out what's going on, what people are talking about, what matters, everything from politics to food. It's powered by you. So please join in with your radio station and your local talk show. Make your 89.7 NPR News donation right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. We have 9 pledges to go before the end of the hour. I know you want to listen, but it only takes 2 minutes to show your support right now. Stand behind the service you care about and that you rely on. We're here for Columbus, Powell, Grove City, Pickerington, Worthington, Hilliard. It goes on and on and on. We extend all the way to Dayton and all the way to Akron. If you're out there listening in those cities, and I know people listen regularly, then this is the time to show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and show your support right now. The Ohio race for governor is statistically tied between Republican Mike DeWine and Democrat Rich Cordray. They wrapped up the first of 3 debates on Wednesday. Both came out very tough on each other. It wasn't some people thought that it would be kind of a gentle opening shot, but it was anything but. Are you seeing politics getting tougher across the board like that? These are...
Well, you know what I am seeing? I am seeing more people pay more attention to gubernatorial races than ever before because they know, and this is crucial, that if you have the governor of your party in charge and you have a state legislature of your party in charge, you will draw the next round of congressional districts when the new right. census comes after 2020. So the stakes are enormous in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida and elsewhere that where there's divided government, where like, for example, North Carolina is a perfect example, even though they don't have a governor's race up this year, but they have, you know, basically it's a pretty much an even state, 50-50 in registration, and yet the Republicans hold 12 out of the 15 House races because of the way they draw the districts. Illinois, it's the opposite. Illinois Democrats have been redrawing the districts for years, and Republicans suffer. So redistricting, whatever you think of it, whether you like it or not, it is key. And that's why so much money and so much attention is being paid to these gubernatorial races. It's very important to find out who's going to be the next governor.
Yeah, the apportionment board in Ohio is the governor. The governor's on it, the auditor, and the secretary of state. And then members of the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And that, you know, something, this is not, that was just not an anti-Republican tirade.
No.
Just making the point that it is crucial that if you care, if you don't like the way your lines are drawn, the race for governor and state legislature, even though we always focus on the Senate and the Democrats who are vulnerable, the Republicans who are vulnerable, and the House, my goodness, statewide and state legislative races are critical in 2018 and 2019. 2020.
I think, Ken, and tell me what you think, because you travel around the country. I think people are getting a lot more sophisticated about how that process works and how the districts are drawn and why that matters. You know, my editors used to say back in the day, that's inside politics, you know, inside baseball. It's too much in the weeds. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. It matters as much as anything.
Well, you know something, but I think they were probably right, is that what we thought about, just the way that people treated sexual assault. I'm not equating sexual assault to redistricting. Believe me, I'm not. But I'm just saying that there was a philosophy back then that, well, whatever, you know, everybody does it, or you know, it goes on, and that's the way life is. And there's a lot of people who've stood up on sexual matters, on political matters, on so many matters that it does matter. Everything matters, mm-hmm. and people need to be treated with respect. The process needs to be treated with respect. And I think people are more aware. I mean, maybe because it is clearly because of stations like WOSU, which drive the message home that these things matter. These things are important. And maybe in the old days, you know, people were very happy getting their town newspaper and wanted to see if a new stoplight was being put up on the corner of, you know, 5th and Elm. But now they know that things are just far more critical and far more consequential than that.
If you have a question or comment for Ken Rudin, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We, allsides@wosu. We only have about 10 minutes left, and I'm looking for 9 more pledges of support, 9 more votes of confidence for All Sides with Ann Fisher, for the shows we bring you every day, for 89.7 NPR News and WOSU Public Media. Don't wait. Make that call right now or go online to WOSU.org. It's only going to take a few minutes out of your time. They are very quick. They're very efficient. The number to call, 866-897-9678. And by the way, there are real people, real Central Ohioans, I should say, waiting to take your call right now. This is how they show their support for their radio station. So give them a call. Give them something to do. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I know we get a lot of online pledges now, but if you want to talk to a real person, they're waiting there, waiting, ready, willing, and able to take your pledge of support at whatever level you can manage. If you can manage $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get your very own pair of branded 89.7 NPR news socks. They're navy blue. They're a great way to show your love for public radio and this station. They have a graphic of a vintage microphone and have the 89.7 NPR news logo running off the back. It's pretty cool. You can go to the coffee shop. You can cross your legs, and you can just kind of dangle your ankle there and let people, you know, revel in your good taste in public media. The number is 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org.
Another alternative is that I could come over to your house tonight, and you should announce your home phone number on the air, and you and I can take calls and pledges from your house.
Oh,
that'd be a great idea.
Are you
in town?
I'll
be on the extension.
I'll fly in.
Yeah.
That would be a blast, though, wouldn't it?
It'll probably be my last public appearance anywhere on this planet, right?
866-897-9678. Thanks to Joyce and Mark Ward from Columbus for your pledge of support. That means we have 8 more to go, and we have just about 7 minutes. There's plenty of time to get 8 more calls in. I know there's 5 or 6 people over there just waiting for you to call. So give them something to do. Make them feel needed. Show your support. 866-897-9678. What are some of the other races that you're looking at, Ken Rudin? There's always something hopping somewhere that matters. What do you think?
Well, before you get to that, and I could probably spend a half hour on that, but I just speaking of Richard Cordray and speaking of me being in Ohio last week, so I was in Cleveland to see President Obama with Cordray in Cleveland. And, you know, that's one of the fascinating things. Usually, you know, historically, presidents try to be very reticent about their successor, and they're very quiet. And for the most part, Obama has been very quiet completely about Trump. But there's really a lack of national leadership, I think, on the Democratic side. Nancy Pelosi is a very controversial figure. She's almost Gingrich in that respect, Gingrich-like in that respect, and that so many Democrats themselves are saying that they won't vote for her if they get elected to Congress. But Obama still retains high popularity. Look, Hillary Clinton doesn't have it. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have it. Steny Hoyer doesn't have it. Chuck Schumer doesn't. It's Obama. So it's interesting to see what effect he will have. And he's also talking about going into like Georgia with Stacey Abrams, who's African-American, is running for governor. Right. Andrew Gillum in Florida. And those are the kind of races which there's a possible history in the making in some of these races. Stacey Abrams would be the first African-American female elected governor anywhere in the country. Andrew Gillum would be the first black governor of Florida in its history. There are a lot of historic number of women running, Democrats and Republican, mostly Democrat on the Democratic side, that, you know, you keep talking about. We always talked about how Hill versus Thomas, Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill led to the so-called Year of the Woman in 1992. And that's such a cliche, that's just awful. But
yeah,
but there's something to be said about 2018 that women have a chance to break all the records as governor, as senator, and as members of the House of Representatives, perhaps because of Trump, perhaps because of Kavanaugh, but all these are factors. So that's something to watch as well.
It was interesting in early 2017, when they had the March on Washington, the Women's March. You know, anyone who watches stuff like you and I do, you wonder, well, how is this going to sustain? Are they going to keep at it? And there have been organizations that have sprouted up in Ohio that are putting their money where their mouth is on female candidates and supporting them and urging them and helping them run for public office. I know it's happening all over the country.
Yeah, you mentioned the March of Women on January 21st, 2017. There's mm-hmm. also anti-gun rallies around the country that was precipitated by that horrific attack in Florida, mm-hmm. and that was led by high school students. Now, I'm among those people who say, well, you know, high school students say things and they start things and they don't always follow through. We'll see certainly on November 6th whether their activities and their fervor will last that long. But again, that's another group where people say, well, they talk a good game, but they don't come out to the polls, because basically when you think of guns, it's really the pro-gun enthusiasts who vote more regularly or more mm-hmm. fervently than gun control people. But we'll see again in November as well.
Thanks to Peggy Oxley in Columbus for your pledge of support. We have, and also Deidre Smith from Dublin for your support. Thanks for making that call. Thanks to Betsy Wright from Pickerington. That means we have five more calls to go, five more pledges to go so we can reach that goal I set. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I know we can make it. You can help us make it. 1-866-897-9678. We sometimes we have special programming during pledge. It's always high quality programming, but we decided to go with a regular Ken Rudin for this because we know it matters to you. It's a special time of the season. It is a very important election cycle, and we try to do what makes sense and ask for your support. If you think this makes sense, then show your support if it matters. Thanks to Deneen Day for your support. That means we have four left to go and 3 minutes, just a little less than 3 minutes to go before the end of this hour with Ken Rudin. 866-897-9678. Ken, when do we see you again? In a couple, 3 weeks?
Well, I'm going to be at your house tonight. And by the way, I'd like to invite Peggy, Deidre, Betsy, and Deneen, the last four people who gave pledges. They'll be at your house tonight as well, which is very nice. But yes, the third Thursday wait a second. That means right before the election. That would be an amazing show.
I know. So no canceling on me, okay?
And I'll be wearing my socks. That'll be good.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
And a great hour, and thanks to everybody at WOSU doing what you do. Thank you.
That's Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org. Remember, it is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. It rolls off the tongue very easily during this time of year when we're asking for your support, but it's true. We not only rely on our listeners to show the support with the revenue we bring in, through Pledge, but we rely on our listeners to tell us what matters to them. Thanks to Susan Parker from Hilliard for your pledge. That means we have three more to go and 1.5 minutes. This is our fall membership drive. We have a wonderful thank you gift for our public radio junkies listening right now for $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. You can get the 89.7 NPR News socks. Show your support right now, 866-897-9678. Remember, this is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. It's global, it's local, and it's local programs like this that make us different, that set us apart from the rest of the pack. Show your support. Tell us it's something that matters to you. 866-897-9678. We have just about 40 seconds to go before the end of the hour. Let's get another call in there. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Show your support. Tell us this is something that's important to you. We'll respond with the kind of programming that you've come to rely on day in and day out. Thank you so much for all of your support this hour. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being there for us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.